So it's Andrew's birthday?
It is.
What's that about?
I know. I wasn't 100% sure, because in my calendar, I apparently forgot the birth part and just said Andrew Carrero Day.
Nice.
Hello and welcome to episode 46 of One More Podcastle, part of the Retroids.com podcast network. My name is Eric Bailey. I am the editor-in-chief of OneMoreCastle.com.
My name is Eric Hunter. I am the audio engineer, and I once lived in a box.
My name's Jason Lamb, resident Canadian, and today is the first day of the rest of your life.
Whoa, that was deep.
That is deep. It's too rich for my blood.
I'm curious about Hunter's living in a box experience, though.
I mean, what do you want to know? Ask me anything.
As long as it wasn't like a 6-foot-long pine box that was buried in the ground that you once lived in and have escaped from, I think I'm okay.
No.
Okay. Cool.
Next question.
What's your favorite color?
Clear.
Clear.
Clear is my favorite color.
That's pretty cool. You clearly have good taste.
Jason, favorite color?
I'm going to go with black. It's technically a shade, but screw you.
If Hunter can pick clear.
That's right.
I think you're in the safety zone on that pick. Wow, my pick seems really boring.
What's yours?
By comparison, mine's green.
That's a good color.
So, yeah, it's my favorite.
Did you just say that Jason was in a safety dance?
No, I said safety zone.
Oh, okay.
But thanks everyone for tuning in. That's the Retro Showdown.
See you next week.
Vote for green.
Vote for clear.
See you next week. Vote
for clear. It's the absence of color.
Okay.
That used to be one of my drunken arguments when me and my friends would get drunk together. We'd always get into the argument if clear was a color. It's not, but man, I would defend that to the grave.
Sometimes that's fun, defending a point you don't even agree with. Just, that can be fun. Yep. Speaking of fun and arguments, guys played any old video games lately?
I did.
What'd you play, Jason?
I played what I brought this week, which I won't talk about yet. I also played Sonic CD.
Also known as Pulling a Bailey.
Pulling a Bailey. I pulled a Bailey. But no, I fired up some Sonic CD this afternoon.
Good game.
Yeah.
Excellent game.
I'd only played it the demo previously on my Android tablet. Let me tell you, it's much better. It's much better through the Steam copy I bought.
Good. Very good. It's a fun game.
Hunter, how about you?
I guess we could stay on the Sega kick. Why not?
Sure. Why not? Fine.
I was happy enough to be able to pick up a Sega Game Gear.
Ooh.
And picked up quite a few games, and I got the whole carrying case and the AC adapter and everything like that. And one of the games that I've been playing quite a bit of is called Axe Battler, which is kind of a spinoff of Golden Axe. It actually plays quite a bit like Zelda 2. So you have like the RPG overworld kind of a thing. And then when you get into a battle or go into a cave, it's a 2D hack and slash beat 'em up kind of a scenario.
Huh. Well, that sounds legitimately interesting.
Yeah, it's actually the story, you know, Dark Adler took some sort of sword or person or I don't know. I just usually skip through all the story and stuff because I just want to play the game. And you start off, you're in the castle, then you go outside the castle, then you're kind of journeying through the land and you're looking for the cave that's going to push you through to the next part of the world. And when you go into the cave, it becomes a side scroller, and you've got your sword, and it's got RPG aspects, so you can level up your health and your strength and your dexterity, and you can get new.
I love leveling up.
Yeah, it's basically Zelda 2, but on your Sega Game Gear with Golden Axe characters and lore.
Nice.
That sounds really cool.
Sadly, it only came out on the Game Gear, so you're either stuck looking at a 3.2-inch crappy screen, because you'll be lucky to find one in pristine condition nowadays, or you're stuck with an emulator, which, from what I remember, some of the emulators don't emulate it correctly, the main character, like, disappears. Like, you can still walk around and do stuff, but you just can't see him. Yeah.
That's convenient.
It sounds like a big problem. Like an actual big picture issue.
Now, that may have just been me and what I was playing it on, but I kind of just gave up after that, and I just started watching, you know, like, walkthroughs on YouTube. And then I bought it. Nice. So I don't have to do that anymore.
Cool. Jason.
Yeah?
Did I cut you off? Did you have more to say, and I quickly transitioned?
No, you're good. Okay. Yeah, no,
just
I'm good.
To make sure.
No, I got distracted by myself, so.
Awkward.
That happens. Yeah.
No, I clued in halfway through talking about Sonic CD. I looked down and realized I'm not actually wearing any pants.
Jason, you're a week late for that. That was the last week's episode.
Yeah, I'm not sure how I'm going to stand up for the.
Just crawl away. Yeah, just like slink down.
Why do you have to go anywhere?
Crawl away.
So yeah, no pants slam.
No pants slam.
There you go. It's a staple in our society.
Pantsless lambs.
Very much so.
I think I'm wearing lambless pants right now.
Oh, that's good.
No wool whatsoever.
All right, Bailey, have you been playing anything?
You know what?
that's good.
If we're sticking to Sega tonight, I can't talk. I haven't played any Sega games.
What have you played? Was it NES?
Well, yes. Played a little game called Sesame Street 1-2-3 for the Nintendo Entertainment System. And it actually, you know what? It's not good or fun.
Huh.
Is it educational?
But it not really. But it might be my favorite edutainment game on the NES. It was developed by Rare, and I have, like, a fetish for Rare games from that era. They did excellent audiovisual work, so it's a very pretty game. So it's kind of fun to look at, but it still kind of sucks, too.
So not Color Me Dinosaur or whatever it was called, or...
Not as bad as Color a Dinosaur, I will say that. I would rather play Sesame Street 1-2-3 than Color a Dinosaur. And I might be strange on that, but that's my opinion.
I will say this. I mean, just as a gamer in general, I don't think anybody really likes edutainment games at all. Obviously, there are a few exceptions, but even those, you know, like Oregon Trail.
Jason's
like, I don't really
raising his hand.
Like, Oregon Trail, I don't even think that's really an edutainment game. It's more of a period piece, maybe?
Are you meaning to say Oregon Trail?
No. Oregon Trail.
Oregon is a completely acceptable pronouncement. Canadian!
I keep hearing him say Oregon Trail, which is that new game. Oh, that's kind of
that's a different game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oregon. I'm like, that's not edutainment.
But anyway, so... But if I had to pick one game that is considered an edutainment game... That is actually a great game, would be Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego?
Not a bad pick. Yeah. Got some detective work going on. Yeah. It's a good one.
The only issue is if you don't have that Bible that it comes with, which is almost impossible to find nowadays.
Fodor's Travel Guide or something like that?
Yeah. I've got three different versions of Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego, and not one of them has the Bible. So I can't even really play it. I don't want to go on like Game Facts. Because that kind of negates the entire game.
Right. No, I had a friend who had it, and it was always fun booting it up and looking through that book. Page 146. Where is it? Oh, there's the word.
What was the word? The bird is the word.
Lithograph.
Oh.
I don't remember what the word was. As much of a word nerd as I am.
Wow.
Nice.
You wow. really have a shirt that says word nerd.
Sister-in-law made it for me. Okay. Shirt that says word nerd on
nice.
It.
Nice.
Wait, you're telling it's me I can't style. Go out and buy a t-shirt that says word nerd on it? I got to get it specially made?
Not with Scrabble tiles on it. That's probably frowned upon by Hasbro or whatever company owns Scrabble.
Kind of world are we living in?
Madness.
Madness.
Fear of the madness.
I
taste the rainbow.
Mario's missing.
That's a good one.
Some people like that. Yeah. I think it's super boring, but...
Yeah, but you have to think of, we're not putting it on the bar of, like, just video games. We're putting it on that very small...
But I do. That's the bar I put it on. I'm a jerk.
Well,
with
stop
that.
It, because they're
about...
all awful.
They're all, yeah. But, I mean, there's degrees of awful. I mean, there's... Because if you play Sesame Street 1, 2, 3, but then you play Fisher-Price Perfect Fit... You could easily tell that the production value of Fisher-Price Perfect Fit is much lower. The graphics are worse, the music is worse, there's less gameplay variety, it's glitchier, it's not nearly as fun, the pacing is different.
It pains me you're an expert on this.
That's kind of what I do. I play a lot of old Nintendo games.
A lot of old Nintendo edutainment games.
Yes. I'm working on them.
It's like you're torturing yourself for something.
Yeah.
What did you do?
Kinda. Yeah, unless it's something really bad, because some of those games really suck. But no, if anyone listening wants to compare and see what I'm talking, honestly, play Sesame Street 1, 2, 3, just for a few minutes. And then play Fisher-Price Perfect Fit and get back to me. And you'll be like, wow, there's a world of difference.
There's a world of crappiness.
There's just levels of crap. There's the... Yeah. We don't need to go into detail.
What about crap?
So, I'd rather not go into detail about the crap.
You don't want to talk about catching rats at the park? Crap.
Oh, that's really random.
Acronyms.
Speaking of acronyms, how about a listener email discussion question?
How about it?
How about those acronyms?
How about them?
We got one from our One More Castle friend, Alex Weiss, a.k.a. Chronoslinger. Chronoslinger? I'll say it that way.
Chronos? I don't know.
Chronoslinger. How about that? It's awkward. Goes like this. Hello, podcast hosts. It is the year 1992, and a Hollywood movie executive comes into the theoretical One More Castle office and asks you three to help develop a video game based on an upcoming, sure-to-be hit, releasing in summer 93. The name of the game? Super Mario Brothers, the movie, the game. What would this game be like? What platforms would it be on? Would it theoretically be better than the movie? What do you guys think?
Well, I think the obvious platform is Super Nintendo, if it's 1993.
I agree. But they should make one of those crappy lesser ports to the NES as well.
Oh, yeah. You got to capitalize like they on did the with install all those, base there still.
Like Yoshi's Cookie and Tetris 2 and all them.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So...
Looking forward to hearing Hunter's vision of this.
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
If I could get away by not making it, I'd probably do that. But if I...
So if these Hollywood executives walked into our office, you'd be like, no. You would just say no.
Have I seen the movie? Because, I mean, it's 1993.
You haven't seen the movie. It's 92 when they had this meeting. It's before the movie comes out.
Oh, okay.
It's like a tie-in. But I'm going to go ahead and just add my own rule to this. You do get a peek at the script.
Oh, okay. Well, if I get a peek at the script, I'm gonna make it into, as much as I hate the genre, I'm gonna make it into a stealth game. Because I think the idea of the whole alternate dimensions, and then, you know, there's this whole another world, and these two plumbers get thrown into it. I mean, 90% of the movie, they're just dodging everybody. So if you make kind of like a neat Mario-esque, stealth kind of platforming game, maybe, I don't know, like a better souped-up version of like the original Metal Gear. And then, you know, you can pick up different abilities still, or you can, you know, dress up as somebody else and that kind of thing. Like I would do the whole Arkham Asylum kind of BS exit like they did in that game, where not only do you fight the Joker, but he turns into this ginormous monstrosity, and you're like, why is Batman fighting this guy? So I would do that, but it would be like the human-esque King Koopa, and then I would blow him up into the giant Bowser at the very end.
All right.
Beat that lamb. That'd
be fun to do some... do some stealth work in there, like reenact the elevator scene with the Goombas, and they're just kind of rocking back and forth.
Yeah.
That's funny. That'd be fun. Okay. Lamb.
Pantsless lamb.
Pantsless lamb. I'm gonna pretend I have foresight here.
Mm.
I'm gonna use the technology they kind of used when making Doom, where they actually took actual images of things and imported them into the game, making sprites. This was also used in the Street Fighter movie game adaptation, where they took the actual actors and scanned them in. So we're actually going to have Dennis Hopper in this game.
Oh, crap. You took my idea.
Sorry. We're going to have Dennis Hopper, you know, Bob Hoskins, John Leguizamo.
John Leguizamo?
Whatever.
Leguizamo.
Whatever his name
is. Hey, you were busting my balls about Oregon Trail.
I kept hearing Oregon.
Well,
anyway, so you're going to have them scanned in the movie, but instead of having selectable characters, you have access to both characters at once, and puzzles are dependent on you switching out your characters. Same with boss fights.
Okay.
So you have to basically execute combos, so you may start fighting as Mario, and only one move can bring down the shield, then you've got to switch to Luigi, and only that can hurt the actual boss after the shield's down, and we'll go like that.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
That sounds innovative, actually. That's...
Oh, I wouldn't go that far. I mean...
for the era.
Yeah.
Can we say that?
Oh,
much?
Yeah.
okay.
What are you going to do there, Bailey?
Well, my concept after yours is going to sound kind of lame.
Again?
I was thinking... again. Every week. I was thinking... I would go real meta with it and real self-referential and make it a simulation of being Dennis Hopper's assistant on the set. So the vision I have in mind is the viewpoint is kind of like The Sims, in that you have a character, you can decide what it looks like, he or she. You have like an office and you can... organized by certain things to help you out, but you have a limited budget, so you have to choose wisely the different strategies to please Mr. Hopper. Because you're involved in setting up his appointments for makeup and just different things you have to go through to make the movie, getting the prosthetics and the special effects and making sure he's on the set on time. And where's Mr. Is he in his trailer? Do we need to knock on the trailer? Do we need to wake him up? Has he been out all night on a drunken stupor? Is he going to... If I screw up on this weird random task he has me do in a very specific way he likes his coffee, will he go into a raging fit and delay filming? Will there be consequences and it'll all be my fault? We're really going to dive into the world of Hollywood filmmaking and what it's like to be in that life.
I like it. Does that mean he gets to negotiate the contract for when he eventually signs onto Waterworld?
No. Sure, that can be like one of the endings, if you do well enough.
That's DLC right there, baby.
DLC.
Wow, that game sounds awful.
Yeah.
It sounds really,
you think so?
Really bad.
You know, sad? Like, I actually really liked the idea, and I would play that.
Yeah, see? Yeah. It would be ahead of its time, like especially before The Sims, before like... being like Animal Crossing, like the whole controlling the aspect of your life. Like, I'm not saying it'd be mainstream explosive.
No, but
no, it would.
Looking back, people would be like, "This was influential."
Yeah, Like that Crazy Mr. Hopper game? That could even be the title. Crazy Mr. Hopper.
Oh, Crazy Mr. Hopper.
I was trying to think of something like Super Mario Brothers, the movie, the game, the Dennis Hopper assisted simulator, something like that. Yeah. Electric Boogaloo.
There you go. Well, if Hasbro owned it, you could have an acronym for the Hopper Assistant Simulator Brothers. The Hasbros.
Oh, God. You're an awful human being.
I liked it.
I play it. I buy it.
See? Jason likes my idea. That's all that matters.
Yeah. That's all that matters. So you got one copy. What are you going to charge for it? Like a couple hundred thousand? Try to make back your investment?
Worth it.
No. I'd sell. I think it would sell. Like, you know,
it would sell.
80 to 120,000.
You know what's, you know, the only thing that would really kill that idea is if,
what's that?
As if Dennis Hopper refused to sign off on it for his likeness.
Oh, that's true.
That would absolutely kill it.
You know what? That's a good point, because he's not one of those cool actors like John Malkovich who'd be like, oh, go for it. That'd be hilarious.
Yeah. I'll do it for free.
Dennis Hopper wouldn't. Yeah.
No, yeah, we'll pay you. We'll pay you.
I'll do it.
I'm assuming at this point he's already signed off on giving away his likeness. So you just exploit that and use a really similar name.
That's true. If I've Dennis already given Bopper. Permission by the studio to do the game, I'll just have him sign a contract and tell him, oh, this is just use your face in the game. Please sign it. Then when he signs it, we're golden.
Right. And you just take and clips then, from the movie.
And then, oh, no, listen. Then, like, after I've duped him into giving permission, we rush it through development and make it decent but not great and push it onto the market. Then when he finds out and gets, like, really angry about it, the press from that would just boost sales sky high.
I like it.
Can you imagine what the gaming press would do with a game like that? Oh. That'd be great.
That's kind of what they did with Mortal Kombat. That's
exactly what they did.
Hell, I'm going to pre-order
Kombat,
right now.
The movie, the game.
How much are you going to put down, Jason? You're just going to pay for it all.
I'll put down $50 right now.
Holy cow.
Awesome. Kickstarter!
Wait. Okay, this is the only way I'm going to buy your game, Bailey, but I've got one question for you.
I'm listening.
Is the game programmed in QBasic?
No.
I'm not buying it then.
Okay, that's okay.
Wait, is the crappy NES version?
No, you know what? No, actually, yes, the 8-bit version is.
Yes!
You can buy that one? Okay, good.
$25, I'll free order.
It'll be a text adventure game.
Oh, nice. Even better.
Yeah, that'll be beautiful.
Just like still, like static screen graphics, like you get into a new room and then you're in the room. Then you type in whatever you want.
Oh, you can make it like Deja
Dennis
Vu.
Hopper's head for the entire game, no matter what you did.
If it was like Deja Vu, then it gets so boring so quickly.
Well, I mean, you're going to have to tweak the controls a little bit.
Yeah.
You're like, you know, if I click on a door, it should just automatically open. I shouldn't have to click open, then walk through the door.
Right.
Did you ever play Nightshade?
Nightshade?
Oh, yeah.
NES?
Yeah.
Make it like that. Yeah.
That's not a bad idea.
You have a menu, but you're walking around and punching people if you want to, also.
Like an old-timey cop.
Like an old-timey cop. Or a cop in a country where they don't have guns and they still carry batons. You get pulled over and you might get beaten. That's a good deterrent, I think. But, you know, what do I know? That took a weird turn.
I don't know. What do you know? Oh.
I know. The only thing I know is my favorite NES educational game. Sesame Street 1-2-3. That's all I know.
Oh, God.
That's my baseline.
Sad, because you're actually going to make me play it now.
The Dennis Hopper's Assistant Simulator is just aiming to be better than Sesame Street 1-2-3. That's my benchmark. Sesame Street 1-2-3.
Wow, that's your benchmark.
Low standards.
Low expectations.
You keep your expectations low and you're always happy.
What? No, that's not. Don't tell people that. Don't tell kids that.
That's not true. That's not true, because if your expectations are low and then you still fail to meet them,
exactly.
That's true. You got me there.
Yeah.
Let's take a music break.
Music.
Back. That was Mega Man X Medley by Girls Melon and Video Game Orchestra, a remix set carried by electric guitar, and that's also a track off the Game Music for All, Here Comes a New Challenger to Turbo album, which might be the longest album title ever, and I mean that in the most complimentary way possible. Very cool. Good variety, good stuff. Speaking of good stuff, it's time for the best stuff. It's time for the Retro Showdown.
Retro Showdown!
For anyone watching or listening who doesn't know, this is the part of the show, it's kind of the crux of our program, really. Where each of us has secretly chosen a retro game. We don't know what each other has picked. And we have 1 minute to introduce it. And then we pretty much spend the rest of our time arguing about who picked the best game. But the best part is that you, the listener, get to vote for your favorite of the three on a poll on the podcast episode page. So hopefully one of our arguments will sway you. We usually have a theme, and 2 weeks ago, that theme was Unlikely Heroes. Either of you care to guess who won?
I'm going to say Hunter because he always wins.
I'll have you know, Bailey, that's actually me, I wrote down Bailey, but I won. So suck it, Hunter. Suck it. Episode 44, Unlikely Heroes, Chippendale Rescue Rangers beat Sam and Max and A Boy and His Blob. It was a close vote, but I took it.
No, it wasn't. So.
Yeah, it was.
Really?
I was only 2 votes ahead, yeah. Sam and Max almost took it.
I don't know when you read, but that's not right.
I checked it today.
We need clarification.
Is today not soon enough? Do I need to go check it again?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I'll check it again. This will take like 30 seconds.
Okay, it was only 2 votes. Never mind.
No, see, yep. All right, cool. Good job.
I thought you had 11 for really some quickly. Reason.
No. But, so I won. And tonight's theme is what I'm going to go ahead and call obscure fighting games. So, fighting games that aren't the mainstream Mortal Kombat, Street Fighter. In fact, I think each of us was going to try and pick a fighting game that never got a sequel. Does that sound right?
Yeah.
Okay, good, because I think I did.
Or was it a fighting game that wasn't a sequel?
What?
That works too, as long as it's obscure.
Yeah.
The point was to not pick one that caught on, was part of a franchise, yeah. A successful series, etc. So, obscure fighting games is what we have. And Jason is typically our timekeeper, and
I do have a minute ready for you.
Okay, I do usually go first, don't I? Whenever you're ready, I'm as ready as I'm going to get.
All right, you may begin.
Tonight for the Retro Showdown and for obscure fighting games, I went back and picked one of those games you pick up at the used game shop for like $2. This is in 1997. I didn't know anything about this game when I got it. It's a Nintendo 64 cartridge. It's called War Gods. And in fact, it was published by Midway, who also published some Mortal Kombat titles. And in fact, it's kind of a Mortal Kombat clone. In fact, it's basically Mortal Kombat. The finishing moves are even called fatalities in the game. And very generic plot, there's these 10 superhumans that are in this battle for some all-powerful artifact. And they're each like some kind of war god. So you have Anubis, the Egyptian one. There's Warhead.
You're running out of time.
The American Soldier. It's a 64-bit Mortal Kombat game. It's
10 seconds.
Fun. Oh, well, in that case, there's another guy named Tack Enormous. And you still got three. Your finishing moves and your combos and specials.
Two.
It's fun.
One.
Kabuki Joe.
I'll be totally honest. I wasn't paying attention to the timer because I was so confused by War Gods. So you got an extra 12 seconds.
What?
Oh, thanks,
I'm
Jason.
Not going to be as lenient from now on. Sorry, Hunter.
We're all going to be sorry.
Just give him 72 seconds. That's fine.
No, I don't want him.
To get 72 seconds.
I don't want him.
What?
I don't want him.
Are you ready?
I don't need to cheat. I can still win within my regulated time restraints.
My main spiel was done. I was just adding extra crap at the end. I think it was pretty obvious.
Yes, Jason, I'm ready.
Okay. go.
All right, my pick for the not-so-well-known fighter was released on the Sega Genesis in 1993 by Konami.
Lame.
Yes, it's the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Tournament Fighters. Picking from eight selectable characters, including the original four Ninja Turtles, along with April O'Neil and the hockey stick-wielding Casey, you journey to different planets in Dimension X, fighting against clones of themselves as they seek to rescue Splinter from the evil Krang. The game contains a two-player mode, practice mode, and a tournament mode where you are pitted against 88 combatants in a one-round fight using only one health gauge. After defeating your opponents, you can relish in the defeat by watching the instant replay of your smashing blows, all the while laughing in the face of your opponent. And I mean, come on, it's the Turtles. So it's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Tournament Fighters.
Nice. All right. I guess that leaves me to begin. My game this week was released by Tosi Software Co., and was only released in Europe and Japan. The Super Nintendo game from 1996 is Dragon Ball Z Hyper Dimension, featuring playable characters such as Super Saiyan Goku, Majin Vegeta, Ultimate Gohan, Piccolo, Majin Buu, and Perfect Cell. You fight your way through various tournaments to defeat popular Dragon Ball Z characters. This game is notable for having multi-tier stages, so if you beat one up enough, you can actually knock them out of the screen to a different part of the stage. The game also features rechargeable health if you power up, and desperation attacks if your character drops beneath 80% health. That's Dragon Ball Z Hyper Dimension.
So Jason, I got one question that I know all of our listeners are wondering.
Mm-hmm. Dying to know.
Dying to know. Have you ever played this game?
I played so much of this.
What?
I played the crap out of this.
Wow.
Wow.
I'm proud of you, Jason.
Yeah, that's...
This would possibly go down as one of my favorite fighting games.
Oh, wow. Now we get to break it apart. Thank you.
Yeah, because... before we even get to the in-game mechanics of your game, Jason... Mm-hmm. I want to go ahead and say that Dragon Ball Z is not an obscure property. That's kind of a mainstream, widely known kind of thing.
I did ask last week, before we entered the podcast, using example of Spider-Man, a well-known property, and you did both approve it.
I don't remember.
I guess
this
the game is obscure. I mean, Hunter picked a Turtles game too, so
that's true. I have a question about War Gods.
By all means.
Okay. So apart from it having fatalities, I also like when you enter a match, it does the same kind of scrolling square blocks.
Yeah, it's Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat. Yeah. I also like, as I'm watching the video, the move sets are exactly the same.
Yeah.
Including right down to the animations. They've honestly just reskinned Mortal Kombat. And somehow just made it crap.
Now, Jason, they did not reskin the game.
Sorry, they.
But what they did do is they did get some of the same actors that they did in Mortal Kombat titles for War Gods, such as what's his name, Warhead, I think it was. It's played by the same guy as Shao Kahn in the Mortal Kombat titles. So they just got the same actors, like they were already around. You know, it was their break. They had nothing to do. They needed an extra $5, you know. Come.
War Gods.
Come be in this crappy game that we're making for money.
Now.
So.
All games are made for money. So that's not a worthy...
That's not true at all.
...criticism.
Did this sell?
Okay. Most games are made for money?
I would say the majority of games are not made for money.
Ah, that's an interesting debate we can have someday. I wonder what our listeners would think if they want to comment on the podcast episode page. Are video games made to make money?
No.
I think often not, they are.
Not the majority of them, no.
I think,
I think maybe so. But if you like Mortal Kombat, you'll like War Gods.
No, you won't.
Then why not just play Mortal Kombat, which is obviously superior?
No, but it's more the same than superior.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
It's not like a step down. It's basically just a Mortal Kombat game. It's like an alternate
Mortal Kombat game.
Yeah. It's rated M for mature, just like Mortal Kombat.
The one guy's doing the same punches as Jax.
You say that like it's new. Like it's surprising. Like...
He throws his punch similarly. It's a right-handed jab. Who does that?
No, it's
nobody
a combo.
Does that.
It's a combo you execute. It's the exact same as Jax's.
Here's what I can say to War Gods.
And what franchise is Jax from? Mortal Kombat. Mortal Kombat. Not Street Fighter. Not Mortal Kombat.
Okay.
So it's a lot like Mortal Kombat.
So here's what I can say to War Gods, because I actually played this game quite a bit in the arcade and on the 64 version.
Yeah, it was an arcade game.
Yes, it was an arcade game.
Released on PlayStation. Anyway.
It's a neat idea. Like, getting war gods from different, you know, religions and societies and mythos and that kind of thing. That's a crazy idea. Like, that's... It reminds me
of... Some of the characters are really cool.
Yeah, like, it reminds me of Time Killers. Which is one of those just really out there, radical, you know, kind of a crazy idea for a fighting game. I mean, it's still a fighting game. Yeah. You know, there's really nothing new with the game, but the ideas are different, and they're kind of pushing the boundaries as much as they can. But I think actually what killed it is because they mirrored it so closely to Mortal Kombat. Like, I think if they could have made it, given it to another studio... Or, you know, completely build a brand new engine, you know, to test something for maybe later that they could work on.
I would concede that they certainly did not add anything new. Other than new characters, new story. In terms of gameplay mechanics, it is exactly the same. I mean, the Mortal Kombat formula was just too good and too successful.
I'm
for them to consider something else.
According to the Book of Knowledge.
Book of Knowledge.
War Gods. Okay, they were already in the development of Mortal Kombat 4, which would have been their first 3D fighting game.
Right.
Yep. And instead of ruining the Mortal Kombat name, they decided, you know what? Let's quickly release this game, War Gods. See if people will actually go, you know what, 3D works for a fighting game, but let's not spend much time on it. They released it as a test. It's a beta version.
No,
essentially paying a reskin beta version.
It's an important alpha? Milestone in video
Pre-alpha?
Gaming history. Important milestone in video gaming history.
That's why I'm recognizing the fighting moves, because they're exact same fighting moves from Mortal Kombat 4, which was already in development. They've just reskinned it.
It's just like Mortal Kombat.
You're just going to keep hammering on
that,
aren't you?
I'm okay. It's just like Mortal Kombat. If you don't like Mortal Kombat, you're not going to like War Gods, so it's nothing to shy away from.
No, that's the problem, though. I love Mortal Kombat, and I don't like this game.
That's weird, because it's exactly the same.
Oh, God.
Well, here's the reality of it, though. When Mortal Kombat went 3D, that's when the series completely dropped off. Like, when it comes to the fighting games, and I'm a big fighting games fan, the second you go 3D, you're gone. Nobody has done it correctly yet.
Yep.
See, I'm going to say I've actually played Mortal Kombat 4 more than any other Mortal Kombat. Because they actually released it on PC.
Did you play it on your keyboard?
I did. I did.
I don't know how you go through life, Jason. It's mind-boggling.
Yeah, man. I did it. I played on my keyboard. And saying that, freaking War Gods looks like a piece of shit.
Okay. This is not even related, but Hunter, real quick. As fanatical as Jason is about using a keyboard and mouse,
right.
You are equally fanatical about using controllers, because you're the guy who plays Hotline Miami with a controller when it controls better if you would just use the mouse.
No, I've used the mouse. It does not control better.
Trust me. Yes, it does. Yeah. You get more precise.
So sorry.
Exactly where you want to aim.
Nope.
It doesn't.
Sorry.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, I can't remember what it's called. I know I'm showing my ignorance. Ampersand, right?
Yeah.
Congrats on the ampersand.
Congrats on remembering what it's called.
Yeah. Say the type back. Okay, Jason, what's the name of your crappy Dragon Ball Z game?
Dragon Ball Z Hyper Dimension. There is actually no Wikipedia page on it. The only Wikipedia page available is in French.
I got that's Google Translate.
Weird.
There's no North American.
Hyper.
You probably want to go to dragonball.wikia.com.
Dragon Balls, so, Hyper Balls, what?
It's called
Dragon Hyper Ball Hyper Dimension.
Could they just call it Hyper Dimension Radical Extreme while they're at it? Can we get any more?
It was the 90s.
Late two. 20th century.
Yo, 19th. War Gods.
That's true.
Well, War Gods? There's nothing cliche about that. That's a high concept game title. War Gods. I mean, God of War is just a step away from that.
A big, big step away from God of War.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Jason. So I've never played this game.
Okay.
So I'm interested. What? I mean, I don't know anything really about Dragon Ball Z just to begin with.
Okay.
So if you can kind of leave that out, that's probably the best.
All right.
If you could just tell me, like, what really brings. What really made you play this game nonstop? Like, how is this your? Why is this your most
other than being a Dragon Ball fan back in the day when I was a kid? What made me play it?
Correct.
Okay. The players have actually diverse moves. No one's a clone of each other, which is great. Because usually when you get games, you get okay, great. Ken and Ray they're the same.
They're not though. Just so you know,
but they are. No. They really are. The multi-stage, once you fight someone, you can knock them over. Completely different environment is great. You can do power-ups. So say if you knock someone down, you stun them. That actually gives you time to recover. You can charge up your health.
Also not a good idea.
Yeah. It's every battle's customizable. You can set rules, lives, how much HP you have. The pixel art is fantastic.
The pixel art does look really nice.
It is. It is very. It's a very late Super Nintendo game, so they've done a very good job of harnessing the power of the system. Yeah. Other than that, it's a lot of fun.
They've done a very good job at harnessing the power of the system.
Yeah.
Harnessing the power. That's something someone in my game would do. War Gods.
Wow, I don't think that's...
You really have no arguments for your game,
pretty
do you?
Awful.
It's a great... It's just like Mortal Kombat. If you like Mortal Kombat...
Stop saying that. It. Stop saying that.
Yeah.
All right, I will say different things about the game.
Also, your characters can change.
Why would you want them to?
Well, you can power up. You can... Let's say you're playing as... Goku. You're... Desperation attack actually turns you into a different... Okay, in the show, they can power up into a different form. So when you're actually in battle, you can turn into a different form, and you have different moveset.
Jason, can I break something to you?
Sure.
Do you know what game had desperation attacks first?
No.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Tournament Fighters.
It's true.
On Sega Genesis.
Really?
It had desperation attacks. Your game is ripping off Hunter's game.
I don't believe you.
So Jason, I'm watching a
play. Hunter?
I'm watching. No, it's. I wouldn't go the whole rip off. I mean, that's kind of an insult to the tournament fighters. But, so I'm watching a video again because I've never played this game, and I've got no qualms with admitting that this doesn't look like a game I would play. But you said that you can power up.
Yeah.
So the video that I'm watching, they're both powering up at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell is the point of that? It's like watching two guys like bodybuild together, but they're in competition. It does nothing.
If you don't stop. No. If you don't, you could. If you start the match and you just automatically both start powering up, there's no point. You're just going to prolong the match. But if you stun a guy, you knock him down, that may give you, let's say, 5 seconds to, okay, I'm going to regenerate about 30 health. That may give you the upper hand going forward.
I am such an opponent of regenerating health in fighting games. I think it goes against...
It's not automatic.
Well, but still, I think... I mean, I'm the guy who... I will even play something like Super Smash Brothers.
I thought you were going to say them, War Gods.
I don't even mind the items, but I will turn all the healing items off because it's so anti-fighting game at its very core, the concept of a bad idea. Rather play War Gods.
No, you'd rather play Tournament Fighters.
I'm not going to talk about...
What's wrong with Tournament Fighters? You got instant replay. So here's the best... So let me give you the
Sega Genesis version, you can change the speed. I always liked Casey Jones.
And you can change the power.
His low stick attack has the longest range I've ever seen. He could drop the bombs that would explode after 3 seconds.
Yep.
So I'm familiar with Tournament Fighter. I'll just put it that way.
So here's why I picked the Genesis version. Not only because it's the best version out of the three of them. Uh-huh. But one of the really neat things that... Because Konami made practically a brand new game with each version. So like the NES, the Super NES, and the Genesis were practically different games.
They're very different.
One of the biggest differences that the Genesis had that the other ones didn't is that April O'Neil was a playable character. Because in the Super NES and the NES versions, she was actually one of the two that got kidnapped by Krang and sent to Dimension X. Like, that's hardcore, man. Like, that's back...
That is cool.
I mean, because, you know, I'll admit, April O'Neil's just like, you know, Princess Toadstool or Zelda, or, you know, she's the one that always seems to be getting in the trouble and getting kidnapped or being in put some sort of slow-moving death ray or whatever. And, I mean, she's pretty hardcore. Like, she kind of plays like Chun-Li in this game.
Yeah, it's a legitimate point. I mean, it's a whole lot better than the portrayal of females in games of the time. When you play something like War Barbie. Gods
from the Mortal Kombat creators.
there's a female character.
Yeah, there's War a God. Female character. I can't remember what her name is, though.
Is she a her tasteful name is female Vala. Character?
Vala.
She's not. She does wear a metal two-piece bikini.
Ah, very tasteful.
She had one of the cooler fatalities, if I remember. She would throw them on like a table and then sprout flames up. That was pretty cool. A
funeral pyre. I like Tack, the enormous stone guy who would pound you into the ground until just your head was above ground and then kick your head like it was a football, like 100 feet away. It was so cool.
That's what you do.
Voodoo would pull out a voodoo doll and like break it and then you'd break. That's cool. Fatalities, man. War Gods.
So it's using the same weapon system that they were designing for Mortal Kombat.
No weapons.
There's a picture of Vala with a sword.
Well, you can use them like in the course of a fight, but you're not picking them up like you were in K4. It's
Who was the guy that would tear your heart out? Which one was he? He was
Kano.
In your War Gods
War
game.
Gods.
Yeah. Oh, in War
Gods.
Who
ripped off Kano?
Oh my gosh. He was the Aztec guy.
Yeah.
That memorable?
His name was Ahuken.
Right.
Ahuken.
He was the one I always played.
There was a guy
as.
Called Kabuki Joe. Kabuki Joe! That was cool. Kabuki Joe. He was a Kabuki. He was Japanese. Kabuki Joe.
I think this is a franchise they could have did something with. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
just a crappy Mortal Kombat port. Like, I really think they could have done something with this series.
We should demand a War Gods 2.
No.
After looking at Killer Instinct, No. I don't want any. Why? I don't want any more 3D fighting games, man. I'm done. Like, if they want to make it 2D,
all right.
Like, I'm done. I can't do it anymore.
You're gonna make it 2D.
Can't do it anymore. Who's gonna make a 2D fighting game that's not like Guilty Gear? Nobody's gonna do that anymore.
Well, Capcom.
When was the last 2D Cap? No, Jason. Yeah. I'm talking.
Oh,
here.
Oh wow. Yeah.
When was the last 2D fighter game? That's all I want to know. Sorry, Jason. Continue. I love you.
No, that's all right. I like that question, actually. What was the last 2D?
I don't know, man. It had to have been a while ago.
They did an HD remake of Marvel vs. Capcom 2, but it's not a proper release.
When did Marvel vs. Capcom 3 come out? That's 2D.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That's pretty darn...
Were you?
Mainstream.
Wait, Marvel vs. Capcom
3.
Was that 2D?
That was... Yeah.
Should be, yeah.
That's just a couple years ago.
I thought it was
ago.
3D.
No, I own 2D. It.
That's sad.
It's definitely 2D. Have you not watched all the tournaments? And I mean, Evo was just
I
last
own it.
Week. And you don't even know.
It's 3D.
Oh, do you own the physical media?
I do.
That's
for my
why
PS3.
You're not playing it. That's yeah. See, that's...
What's this fangled controller?
No, Marvel vs. Capcom 3 is 3D.
No, is it?
Well, it's
yeah, it's 3D. No, they've just used a type of cell shading on them. Look at
Hold
it.
On.
They're 3D models.
Marvel. Well, yeah, the graphics are 3D, but that doesn't count. It's the
well, they fight on a 2D
it's not
plane.
Like in a 3D setting.
Well,
yeah,
it's a 3D plane.
Relevant.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Sorry.
Duh.
Boom.
Jeepers.
Jeepers creepers, guys.
God.
It's getting crazy up in here. Somebody's going to tear my heart out.
War Gods. I have to go
Rip
back
my
to
my spine out. War Gods.
Okay. Yeah. Are these actual gods or just people who are good at war?
They are 10 superhuman beings. So some of them are Anubis, Egyptian god.
Okay, I understand that.
Warhead, just some guy.
Yeah, he's just a soldier. There's a cyborg. There's a gladiator.
Sci-5.
Yeah.
Sci-5 is the cyborg. There's like a voodoo guy. His name's Voodoo. So you know exactly who he is. Vala is a Viking, the female Viking warrior. Tak was the big rock guy. I mentioned the big... Maximus! He's like the Roman.
Wow.
And of course, Kabuki Joe. Oh, and Pagan. We can't forget Pagan.
And Voodoo.
Okay, I just made the mistake of finding the Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3 EVO 2012 Grand Finals.
Oh, God.
Good luck. I'm almost sick to my stomach. These guys are insane. Or girls. They could be girls, too.
I love watching EVO stuff.
It's just unbelievable.
So yeah, fighting games. It's the fighting game community is it has such a unique passion and energy to it. It's one of those things I love watching from afar. Even though I know I will never have the practice and the skills necessary to actually make a serious bid at it, but I admire them. They're the skill level it takes for what they do, just the insanity.
The insanity!
The insanity! But yeah, every year after EVO, I'm always watching all the games and all the finals. Because, I mean, like, this year they still had a Smash Brothers Melee tournament.
Oh, did that actually go through?
What's that?
Did that actually go through?
I think so.
It did.
I thought I was watching it. But, yeah, it came down to a Falco Peach fight. That was very entertaining. So good.
Oh, which version were they playing? Brawl or Melee?
Melee.
Oh, okay, good.
I think so, anyway. I know it was Melee, but I think it was 2013 that I watched. You get into YouTube and you're clicking links.
Yeah.
It'll be there
Hopefully
for days.
EVO 2030. Yeah. I don't watch every match.
I mean, I think I'm pretty good when it comes to Street Fighter 2 Turbo. But other than that, like, I mean, I enjoyed playing Smash Brothers, and I enjoy playing some of the lesser known fighters like Art of Fighting and World Heroes and King of Fighters. And, but I mean, yeah, when it comes down to playing competitive, like, I don't know. Something tells me that I will never be good enough, no matter how much I try, no matter how much I train. You know, because I'm still on that point of I play games to have fun and to relax and to escape. And I, for some reason, I feel like the second I bring in some sort of competitive nature to it, like I just, I'm done. Like, I don't even want to play. Like, I don't want to be mad at the game.
Unless it's Jerry Glanville's Pigskin Football.
That is correct. That is my one and only. That's my unicorn right there.
That's my unicorn. I like it. That's my unicorn. But yeah, like, they always have so many games they do at these big tournaments, too. I mean, they had a Mortal Kombat. They had the latest King of Fighters game. They had Ultimate 3. They had one of the Street Fighter games, like 4 or something.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I hear you, though. Never be good enough.
I mean, I might do okay, like, in a local tournament.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
But something I'd that's love to national. Do an obscure
game.
There's no way I could do that. Like, I was in a local Mortal Kombat 3 tournament. And I was, like, 14. I think I came in third out of, like, 40 people. But that was, like, my prime. Like, I was going up there, I'm not even kidding, almost every day just to play Mortal Kombat 3. But now, when I pick up Mortal Kombat 3, I'm so frustrated with the control scheme, especially, like, on a console because of the way that the button configuration's set up. Like, I don't even really play anymore.
Quick story time, and you don't even have to believe this story because it's going to sound crazy, but this is absolutely true. It actually happened. I played the Nintendo 64 version of Super Smash Bros. So much that when Melee came out, I didn't get it right away, but it caught on. It was really popular, obviously way better than the 64 version. And there's a local tournament, and a distant cousin of mine just happened to make me aware of it, and I went. Never played Melee before. Never. Never played it.
That's crazy.
I came in fourth place out of 32 people.
Wow.
It was awesome.
That just goes to show that the game didn't change that much.
Yeah. It probably wasn't the most competitive setting either. It was just some hotel room that put an ad in the paper and got 32 people to show up.
Hey, man. Contest is a contest.
It's true. There was cash on the table. The winner walked away with like $200. And I was like,
nice.
I got a trophy.
Ooh, that's cool. Do you still have it?
Probably not. I think my mom tossed it like forever ago.
Oh.
It was just like a little, it was a trophy. I mean, it was pretty good size, but it had like the little karate guy on the top of it and then my name engraved at the, or no, it had the place that I finished engraved at the bottom of it. So there you go.
I will say I would play a 16-bit or 8-bit, actually, Turtles Tournament Fighter Tournament. That'd be a lot of fun, I think.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
Raphael is my NES guy. It's good times.
Yeah. He's, what is it, that little tornado?
Yeah,
Street Fighter tornado drill thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like unblockable.
So good.
So good.
Any more questions about War Gods? I mean, I'm ready.
No.
Yeah. My brain is already full of useless information about crappy games. I want to try to keep it out as much as possible.
See how it is. Okay, then. Final arguments. Jason, why should anyone vote for your Dragon Ball Z fighting game?
It's a very deep fighting game. You should look past the Dragon Ball Z and recognize it as a great fighter.
It's really nice.
Hey, War Gods.
War God that far.
War God.
All right.
War God. Hunter.
Oh, hey.
Final arguments. Why would anyone pick Turtles Tournament Fighters, or why should they?
Turtles Tournament Fighters. It's a Turtles game. There's really not a lot of good Turtles games.
What? Yes, there are.
I don't think so. This one's not bad. I like this one.
Yeah.
The music's of the Genesis port's the best. The ability to control your power and speed. I mean, and who doesn't like playing as your favorite turtle? Or, I mean, I think this might even be the first time that you could play as Casey in a game. I don't think you could play as him in any other game. So, I mean, that's... Hey, man, when I was watching the Turtles, that's who I dressed up as Halloween for that year. So,
nice.
There you go.
As for me, you should vote for War Gods because, get this, It's like Mortal Kombat. 10 new characters, new settings, new graphics, and new fatalities. War Gods. 64-bit fighting game action. And that's the Retro Showdown.
Right.
If you enjoy the podcast, you want to get to know me better for some weird reason, hopefully not too creepy, you can find me on Twitter at Nintendo_Legend. My blog is NintendoLegend.com. I'm working on reviewing every North American NES game. Shoutouts to Ben Landis for letting us use your intro and outro tracks. Check out the Interlude Artist, the Girls Melon and Video Game Orchestra, and the Mega Man X Medley track. The whole album's great, actually. The game music... For All, Here Comes a New Challenger 2 Turbo, name your own price kind of deal, great variety of stuff. And my Twitter shout out this week, gonna go ahead and go to Mercury Crusader, legitimate retro gamer, happens to share my fondness for the NES game Wacky Races, an underrated platformer, even if it's good partially because it rips off of Super Mario Bros. 3. How about you guys, shout outs? Jason?
You can follow me on Twitter at Jason Lamb. As for my shout out, I'm going to give a shout out to Con Bravo. It's a convention I'm going to here this weekend, and I'll be covering on our website. You can follow them at Tweet Bravo. You should also probably follow Norman Caruso at The Gaming Historian, who will be at this convention. He's been on the podcast before.
It's actually not at The Gaming Historian. It's just Gaming Historian.
Never mind. I'm a dick.
Yes. Yes, mistake. Jason. That's what makes you a problem. Dick. Putting on the article. How dare you?
How dare you? War Gods.
Oh, let it go.
Hunter?
You can find me on Twitter at Eric Hunter. My blog is ericmhunter.net. And my Twitter shout out goes to The Time Puncher!
The Time Puncher!
If for the only reason of tank legs.
Tank legs!
Sounds good as a Time Puncher.
Good stuff. Jason, I have a closing question for you.
Sure.
Did you put on a pair of pants during
No, I actually put it on while we were talking before the break.
What?
I put on a pair of shorts.
Is talented.
Yeah. I did not see that. Good. And I was watching.
I know, I'm tricky.
I was watching.
Was wondering what was going on there. I wasn't going to say that's kind of weird. So never forget Rocket Pants. Another thing you shouldn't forget, dear listeners, is you are a bad enough dude to rescue the president. See you next week!